This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And a very good Sunday morning to you. We've got a busy show ahead, but before we do anything else, we've got Jessica Gatzo here. Jessica, I know you noticed in that newscast you mentioned Summerfest. Are you a big music fan?
I'd say yes, yeah.
Yeah, do you like indie rock?
I do, yes, definitely.
Oh, do you hear that song?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who's in that band?
I happen to know, yes.
Our own Isaac Marcourt. Yes, he is the drummer. No, play that a little bit more. I want to hear the drum beat. Okay, because the drums, that's Isaac.
It is.
And I got, Isaac, you know, I've known you, how many years now you've been doing this?
It's coming up to 4, I think.
Oh my gosh, 4 years. And you're always talking about the band. The band, I got band practice. Oh, we got a gig tonight. And I'm like, okay, you got a band. But, I am really proud of you. This is going somewhere because you've got an album release show coming up next week. And as a matter of fact, this song and 9 others were just released on all the streaming services on Friday.
They were.
From your band, Barely Civil. What's this song called?
This song is called Coasting Mostly.
How do you come up with these names for songs?
So this album specifically is called I'd Say I'm Not Fine. And the intro track, the first track of this album, is called I'd Say I'm. And then the rest of the song titles were ways to finish that sentence.
Oh,
that's clever.
Yeah, I was going to say that really is.
Like so
there's like a method to the madness. It's not like you just throw a name on a song. You have a plan.
Yeah, at least with this one we did, for sure.
Yeah, and then do the songs somehow tie into one another? The songs on the album?
A little bit. We have a tendency to be very self-referential with our songs. So we actually have songs on this album that directly and indirectly reference other songs that we've released in the past. One of the songs that we have on this most recent album has a lyric that references a shirt that we had been selling for a while.
So it's like Easter eggs.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of Easter eggs hidden in our music.
So you have shirts?
We do. We've got shirts. We've got sweatshirts. We will have records.
Vinyl records?
Oh yeah, I'll send you a picture of it. They look beautiful.
I love that. Oh, so again, the music was actually released on Friday, but your big show is next Sunday. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, we are playing next Sunday, Easter Sunday, at the Cactus Club over in Bayview. We've got another band who's on our record label who's coming all the way from Washington, D.C. to play this show with us, which is going to be really fun. And then some local friends of ours are playing as well. I am really excited for it. It's going to be a great time.
This is open to the public. I mean, people can come.
Of course, yeah. Of course.
And what time do you guys play?
Music starts at 6:30. So... Oh. Yeah.
Okay, well, after you have your turkey and your ham for Easter dinner, you can get over to the Cactus Club and you can hear you guys.
Exactly. Full of ham and ready to rock.
Barely Civil. So if you want to hear more, play that again. I want to hear a little bit more. There you go. So if you want to hear more of this song, Coasting Mostly, and some of those other songs that are on the Barely Civil album, you can go to any of the streaming services, and you can hear this, right?
Yep, any of the streaming services.
Okay, well, we'll check in with you. I want to hear a little bit more, so throughout the morning, we'll play a couple more of the songs that are on there. Again, that's Isaac Marker, our producer, who's also a drummer, and this is very exciting that this album has been released. So we'll hear more about that as the morning goes on. Now, the other thing you're going to hear more about, so we've all been talking about March Madness, right? But do you know what Vaz Madness is? We're going to let you in on that little secret. Also, do you always get what you paid for? Our consumer expert, Michelle Reinen, shares some tips. We're also going to share a story about a pedestrian who was hit downtown by a minivan back in January and how it's affected his life. And of course, as we just mentioned, next Sunday's Easter, and we're going to share some fun activities for the family that you can get into the Easter spirit. Mark Cass is here from the Milwaukee Business Journal, and he's going to talk about what else? Top Chef. Yes, it's finally made its debut. A lot of people around town are talking about it, including Matt Miller, who has some thoughts about the contestant he was happy to see leave that competition. We're also going to look back at the week in review. Isaac, of course, is here pushing buttons and playing some drums. Jessica Gatzo is in the newsroom, and in just 2 minutes, it's Brandon Side with sports. Well, it looks today as if you're going to wake up to a few snow flurries. It's a little bit on the chilly side, but at least we're not going to have any big snow like we had on Friday. Right now, it's 32 degrees at 8:14 on WTMJ, and you're just a couple minutes away from sports with Brandon Snide.
The Marky Bucks will continue their push to the NBA playoffs later today. After beating Brooklyn on Thursday night, Giannis and the Bucks will welcome in the Oklahoma City Thunder to Milwaukee. The Bucks, over the past few games, have shot the ball with much more efficiency as of late, something head coach Doc Rivers has credited to the selflessness of his squad.
It just means they're giving themselves to the team. Whenever you see that, that means I have a good shot that I can probably make, but that guy has a great shot. And, you know, it's like the heat check thing, which I hate. A guy makes four in a row, but if you get the ball and then the guy's wide open, you still should throw it to him. I don't believe the heat check thing. And I thought a couple times we actually did make the extra pass, even when a guy had it going. That's a good sign for our team.
Tip-off tonight between the Bucks and Thunder, all set for 6 p.m. Bucks shoot-around will begin right here on WTMJ starting at 5. Over to college hoops, where the Marquette Golden Eagles will look to continue their run in March as they get set to face off with Colorado with a chance at advancing in the tournament. Tip-off is set for 11:10 this morning. Coverage will get underway over on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee starting at 10:40. And lastly, despite the recent snow here in Milwaukee, spring is certainly starting to heat up for the Brewers out in Arizona. This after knocking off Craig Counsell and the Cubs Saturday afternoon by a final score of 7-4. The Brew Crew will be right back out to work later this afternoon against the Diamondbacks. That first pitch is set for 3:10. DL Hall expected to get the start for the Brewers. I'm Brandon Snide, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Brandon. It's 32 degrees. You might be waking up to a few flurries. We're going to have your forecast. And also coming up, Mark Cass talks all about that Top Chef premiere party. It's all coming up on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. This afternoon looks like we've got some snow showers. It's going to be mostly cloudy. Be a little bit of accumulation, but less than an inch with a high of 40 degrees. Then tonight, cloudy, breezy, and cool with 38 for your low. Tomorrow looks like we're going to get some rain with some isolated thunder. Yeah, you go from snow to thunder. Oh, what can I say? Windy and a high of 52. Tuesday looks rainy and windy, getting up to 54 degrees. Then we drop down back into the 40s on Wednesday. Under mostly sunny skies, 42 degrees. And then Thursday, mostly sunny and 47. Racine right now is reporting in at 33 degrees. Mequon has 31. Oconomowoc's at 29. We have 32 degrees at 8:21 on WTMJ, and it's time to check in with Mark Cass. He is the editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal. Mark, we have been talking about this for months, and it finally happened on Wednesday night, the premiere of Top Chef. And it wasn't just on TV, because everybody from the series seemed to be right here back in Milwaukee, and you were there.
Yeah, it was a great night. It was a fun night. It's, you know, a night we don't often see in Milwaukee. You know, Hollywood was here. The three judges, the producers, other people at the show were all in town for the premiere. Great night, a lot of fun, a lot of activity, but it showed what's going to happen over the next number of weeks. It was also cool to have some of the chefs here. Not all of them made the trip to Milwaukee, but a number of them did, some of them in Chicago. And then, of course, our own chef who's on the show, who, as we all know now, has made it through the first show, which is great news. And it was just a great night, a lot of attention, a lot of talk about the impact, a lot of talk about food, a lot of talk about Milwaukee. And, you know, I know when I watched it, and I'm sure you did, you saw a lot of Milwaukee, didn't you? It was pretty cool to see the scenes around Milwaukee, was it not?
Oh, I loved it. I mean, I was so excited for this premiere. But you mentioned Dan Jacobs from Dan Dan. Yeah. Have you had the opportunity to talk with him one-on-one about his experience? And I know that he can't tell everything yet, but has he said anything to you about what it was like for him?
Yeah, he's talked to us. He's talked to a lot of media. It's just the experience. And it's neat to hear him talk about experience, about how he'd wanted to be on the show for a long time, how he got on the show, but he didn't know that it was going to be shot here in Milwaukee, how he found out it was in Milwaukee, how he's the only one. And you see in the first episode when they're up at Blue, and he kind of welcomes them to Milwaukee and talks about how great this city is. I thought that was really cool. But the whole experience has been really cool for him. But it's also fun to watch the other chefs in Milwaukee, to watch him and kind of show him off with glow about how cool it is to see this. And also, a lot of attention over the last week has been on Paul Bartolotta, because he was the guy who's been on the show in the past as a judge, was on the first show as a judge, but he's the one who made the call to kind of start this whole thing, to have them actually film in Milwaukee, film in Madison, film in Wisconsin overall. So there's a lot of pride here, Libby, among the chefs, among our restaurant community, as to how this happened. And now that we have a chef on the show, and he's made it through one episode, hopefully he'll go a lot farther. We'll see. It's just really fun to watch.
You mentioned Paul Bartolotta, and my impression of him and watching the show was he was so excited. He was just so happy that they were there.
Yeah, that was the cool part. He was just, I mean, he was at the premiere, of course. He got the opportunity to speak on stage with the three judges and just talk about what they saw in Milwaukee, what they learned. But yeah, he definitely is smiling from ear to ear and just talking about Milwaukee. He's always been somebody very proud about Milwaukee. Obviously, we all know him and his brother Joe, who unfortunately passed away a number of years ago. And kind of what he still holds him close. He still holds the show close. And to see this all come together has been great. One thing he said, if you had watched the show, how it would show off Milwaukee. And what he made me think about, it was true, is every time it went to commercial and it came on again, it actually showed the sign of the restaurant where they were, and that was for Loopy and Iris. And it showed that sign over and over again throughout the show. Think about what that'll mean long-term to Adam Siegel, who runs that restaurant, in terms of that's free advertising on an international show. But that was one thing. And the other thing he said to me is, Mark, it's not just 1 week. It's 14 weeks of the show on every week, and they filmed in Milwaukee. Now, the finale is not filmed in Milwaukee, but every show up to that point is. So think about that. Every week we're going to see restaurants in the area. We're going to see the stadium. We're going to see Madison. We're going to see the lakefront. And it's going to be shown all over the world. And he said to me, that's the neat thing about this. You know, the RNC is a wonderful thing. It's going to be great for Milwaukee, but that's 3 or 4 days. This show is going to go on for months, and he's going to be showing off Milwaukee.
Well, and not only that, it will live on forever on reruns on Peacock and on demand. I'm watching season 4 right now. Okay. I'm not kidding you. It's that good.
My wife loves this show. She watches all the time. This is my first exposure to it. I enjoy it. I think it's fun. I think it's about it's interesting to learn more about the art of cooking and the art of kind of that. To me, that's interesting. It's also interesting to watch the interactions, but I thought it was cool that here they were out at Whole Foods. Here they were at Blue. Here they were walking the streets of Milwaukee, driving around, seeing virtually no traffic on the streets of Milwaukee. How cool is that for the city? I just think it's going to be so much fun to watch.
Oh, no doubt about that. All right, there's something else that we're watching.
And I know that's all you and I are going to talk about for the next 3 months, right? Every week we're going to have our show recap.
Well, except when the Brewers are playing, because they kick off their season Thursday in New York. What's the business outlook for the team this season?
I mean, it may have snowed on Friday. It may be cold, but it's already time for spring. I mean, the outlook to me is pretty good for them for the season. They've had a nice run here almost every year making the playoffs, so that's good for the team. It's good for sponsors. It's good for attendance. But, you know, I mean, I've said this 100 times, it's all about winning. The Brewers start strong, have a good April and May. It's going to really help them draw more fans throughout the season. So that's really important. But the Brewers have really upgraded the stadium. Think about the new scoreboard they've added, the new food options they're adding for the season. So they're really continuing to add to the stadium to draw in fans. But again, I'll say it over and over again, it's about winning. If they're a winning team this year, remember, they're in the smallest market in the major leagues, but they always overdraw that, and you know, sometimes can end up around 3 million people. I mean, for them to hit that 3 million this year, they're gonna have to win a lot of games.
Speaking of winning, Molson Coors is back, bringing a great taste, less filling marketing campaign.
Which
for the
side are you on? That's what I want to know.
All I know is my bracket's already gone. So it was gone after
I want to talk
first
about
game.
That. Who saw Oakland winning against Kentucky? I mean, nobody saw that coming. I don't care what you say. The people say, oh, I called that. They didn't call that. They got lucky.
So let's talk.
Do you remember these ads? I mean, remember these ads with Bob Uecker sitting in the last row, these well-known players? Well, now they're bringing them back, and they're going to have as well-known people from Wisconsin now with J.J. Watt on. I think it's fun. What it does is it kind of harps back to think about those ads, but also draws in younger individuals who now know these new players. I think it's fun. I think it's a smart move. Anything you can draw around the NCAA tournament is great. I love the NCAA tournament, greatest sport timing of the year, just because of upsets and the fun of that tournament. So I think it was really smart.
But obviously media's attention on Milwaukee is just all over, it seems, the last couple of weeks, and it even more so when the RNC comes to town. But let's talk about what that means for Mitchell Airport, because apparently Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley is talking about a new international terminal at the airport.
Right.
What do you know about this project, and what could it mean?
This is one that's been out there for a few years. They were looking at it pre-COVID, got shelved, obviously, throughout COVID. But it's rare to see an airport of our size have a whole terminal empty, and that's what's going on right now. So to get international terminal, about $80 million is what they're looking for from both local funds and then from the Fed, which is where they're applying for grants. is important because they need to increase international flights. I've talked often about the importance of nonstop flights. It's also adding international flights. You and I were talking a number of weeks ago about the NBA All-Star Game. What was one of the criteria? You have to have X number of international flights out of Milwaukee every day. So that's something that really needs to be added here. It needs to be a focus. Hopefully to see more flights north to Canada, maybe some to Europe, some to the Caribbean. It'd be nice to have that because it adds options. And what's also important is it holds the people in Milwaukee so they're not driving to Illinois, to O'Hare to hop on a flight. So this is an important project, one they hope to start in 25. You know, they need to get more money from the feds for this. Hopefully that will happen, but a really important thing for the airport.
Well, Mark, it's always good to have you here. I know you'll be watching Top Chef.
I'll be shredding my brackets. I can have a confetti party with my bracket. How about that?
I think you can, but I know you'll be revealing more about Top Chef as the season goes on, so I can't wait to hear that. Mark Cass from the Milwaukee Business Journal, always great to have you here.
Always good to be here, Libby, and I'll talk to you next week.
It's 8:28. We have 32 degrees at WTMJ. Speaking of Top Chef, Matt Miller is going to tell you which contestant he was happy to see leave the show. That's all coming up on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. And welcome back to Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. A little bit later on in the show, we're going to tell you what Vaz Madness is. I never heard this before. Wait until you hear about this. All right, let's see. Well, what happened this week? Well, there was a high-profile trial in Milwaukee that ended in a guilty verdict. There was a Taste of Wisconsin that hit the red carpet, and also a spring snowmaker. It's the Week in Review. Brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
My music, please!
Top of the morning to you.
This year, Ireland and the United States mark a milestone. 100 years of diplomatic relations between our countries.
This is special because, as well, the amount of people in the streets, like, it's good atmosphere. People are so nice.
The trial for a former Wisconsin elections official who allegedly requested mail-in ballots for three non-existent military voters begins today with jury selection in Milwaukee.
Ms. Zapata was entrusted with safeguarding our elections. She responded to that trust by inserting fraud into our election.
The safe's theory is complete bunk.
She told me that she had requested those ballots.
I just wanted to get the truth out there.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Kimberly Zapata, guilty.
Two Rivers police confirm finding a red and white plaid blanket belonging to 3-year-old Elijah Vu.
We can't stop until Elijah is brought home.
The state of our county is getting stronger, healthier, and brighter every single day.
At the State of the County Address Tuesday,
Crowley tells WTMJ he believes affordable housing is a public health crisis.
I think that we have been able to, one, message and really stay ahead of the curve as it relates to not only building, but how important this is.
You're a moron. Right? That is who these people are.
We have Republican Speaker Robin Voss joining us by phone. Wanted to talk to you with Greg next to me about the effort to do a recall. It's fallen flat.
I have to tell you, it doesn't break my heart.
There's something Wisconsinites can't live without.
Cheese!
With Wisconsin as the backdrop, season 21 of the Bravo reality series Top Chef premieres tonight.
It's totally for real. It's breakneck.
You're living in Atlanta. You're living in Florida. You're living in California. And you like to travel. After the show, you may say, hey, I want to come to Milwaukee.
I was going
to
ask you one of those ultimate Wisconsin questions. Beer or old-fashioned?
Beer.
And there's no wrong answer to that
exactly.
Question.
We're given that information.
Last night, the Glendale River Hills School Board addressing the multi-million dollar budget deficit that was discovered earlier this year.
The reductions we are making right now will have minimal impact on programming.
Have knocked off the BYU Cougars 71-67.
Shot clock resets to 20. Bulky again.
Yes! Oakland with a March memory of a lifetime.
This guy right here, he had no conscience.
Not a very good Thursday for Idaho prison police and corrections officers. There's an urgent manhunt underway after a dramatic escape there.
And in fact, moments ago, some breaking news here for you. They arrested them. The announcement made about 2 minutes ago.
Skylar Mead and Nicholas Umfenauer are in custody.
It is snowing and it sucks.
Heavy bands of snow starting to work their way through southeast Wisconsin through the morning. Several inches already fallen in some spots.
I'm Debbie Lozaga and ground, it's gross. It's pretty bad out there.
If you had to make a guess, Adam, how much is on the ground in downtown Milwaukee?
I have our super official WTMJ snow measuring apparatus, which I freely admit is two spotted cow cans I taped together. And we're about a can deep here at the park. So if you do the math, that's about 4.5-5 inches.
Women don't find you handsome. They should at least find you handy.
WTMJ's Jack Grau is out in the elements.
I'm at one of Wisconsin's biggest cultural locations, the Mars Cheese Castle. I'd say the biggest issue that you're going to be dealing with is visibility.
All right, Jack, grab some Havarti and make your way back safely.
Cheese!
What a week.
You're a moron.
Cheese! Take care and goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
And the Weekend Review is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. It's 8:39. We have 33 degrees at WTMJ. And coming up next, do you always get what you pay for? Oh, we'll give you a few tips on how to know. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Have you ever been at a store and your things are being weighed and you wonder, is that really what it should be? Or maybe you've been at a gas station and you think, boy, that doesn't seem like that was a whole gallon of gas. Well, joining us is our consumer expert, Michelle Reinen. And Michelle, tell us about that and how important it is that we know that we're getting exactly what we're paying for.
Yeah, we want consumers to be confident in the purchases they make in the state of Wisconsin. And we have inspection staff out throughout the state, municipal city dealers, that verify that the products that are sold by weight and measures, as you mentioned, a gallon of gas, a pound of meat, or your produce, or maybe those deli packaged items, are the weight that they say they are, the volume that they indicate they are. And so we conducted over 226,000 inspections at over 550 businesses in 2023. And from that information, we've calculated those consumer confidence based on pass-fail rates. And in motor vehicle fuel pumps, there is over a 99.6% accuracy rating in our state, and scales used to sell products by weight are at the exact same accuracy rate, 99.6%.
We hear a lot of complaints about people when they take their items to the checkout, and sometimes those prices don't come up being scanned as to what you've seen on the counters. How accurate are they, and is that something that's done accidentally? Do you think it's deliberate?
Yeah, electronic price scanners through those inspections are at a 96.8% accuracy rating. And so we're confident that when you see a misscan, it's not an intentional action. It may be someone fell down on doing their job, or it could be a technology problem. We encourage consumers to bring that issue to the attention of store management, require that they give you the difference if you've been overcharged for the item, and be sure you report it to Consumer Protection at the Bureau of Weights and Measures so that that can be inspected and verified to be sure it's not a company trend, in making sure that they have the proper procedures in place.
And if by any chance you think that maybe something's not fair, how do we reach you at the Consumer Protection Hotline?
You can call 1-800-422-7128.
It's 8:44. We have 33 degrees. And in just a minute, we've got sports with Brandon. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
Spring training for the Milwaukee Brewers continued on Saturday afternoon as Joe Ross took home the win for the Brew Crew over the Chicago Cubs. This after tossing 5 innings of work and allowing just 1 earned run as Milwaukee knocked down Chicago by a final of 7-4. Gary Sanchez also waking up this spring, launching his second homer as Milwaukee will get right back out to work later this afternoon in Phoenix. D.L. Hall expected to get the start for the Brewers against Arizona. That first pitch is all set for 3:10. Over to the NBA, after beating Brooklyn on Thursday night, the Milwaukee Bucks' 3-game homestand will roll on later tonight. The Deer will welcome in the Thunder from Oklahoma City. Bucks shoot-around is slated to begin right here on WTMJ, beginning at 5 with tip-off all set for 6 p.m. from Pfizer Forum. And lastly, the 2-seeded Marquette Golden Eagles will look to punch their ticket to the Sweet 16 as they get set to face off with the 10-seeded Colorado Buffaloes. Tip-off is set for 11:10. Coverage will get underway over on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee beginning at 10:40. I'm Brandon Snide, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Brandon. Well, of course, we're talking about March Madness, but what about Vaz Madness? guess what? You'll find out around 9:34 this morning. We've got a chance of some flurries this morning. This afternoon, looks like we've got some snow showers. It's going to be not much accumulation, less than an inch with a high of 40 degrees. Then tonight, cloudy, cool, and breezy down to 38. Tomorrow, looks like we've got a chance of some rain showers, maybe some isolated thunder. It's going to be on the windy side with a high of 52. Right now, Cedarburg, 31 degrees. Oak Creek has 32. Brookfield's at 31. And it's 34 degrees at WTMJ at 8:47. Coming up next, Matt Miller right here on WTMJ. It's time to check in with our media critic and pop culture editor from onmilwaukee.com, Matt Miller. And Matt, everybody is talking about the premiere of Top Chef on Wednesday night. The cast, the crew, they were back in town with a big viewing party for that. People were watching it all over the city. What are you hearing about this season of Top Chef?
Yeah, I thought the debut was really, really fun. I've been a Top Chef fan. I've been watching all the seasons to get ready for this. And I thought it was a really good start to the season, mainly because they got rid of the right guy. The guy in the cowboy hat and the bright-colored shirt, and who was working really hard to be a personality and wasn't working hard on making dishes that looked good. That guy needed to go, and I was very happy that everyone on the show seemed to agree. I mean, the guy made a gnocchi, just one single gnocchi. And I'm not going to pretend like I'm Wolfgang Puck over here, but I think I could make more than one single gnocchi. I mean, the guy was upsetting on many levels. But he's gone, and our guy, Dan Jacobs, did really well, our local chef, Dan. He looked really good in the first episode. Hopefully that means he'll be sticking around a while. And Milwaukee looked great, too. It was a really good episode. You know, I think everyone's concern going into the season is it just going to be the cliches? Is it just going to be Wisconsin, beer and cheese? That's it. And we in Wisconsin know we love those things, but we're also more than just those things, too. And it's cool that the first episode wasn't just simply that. It was Loopy and Iris. And, you know, kind of a greater portrait of Milwaukee cuisine.
How do you think Kristen kished it in her replacing Padma, who is just, I mean, you think Top Chef, you think Padma Lakshmi.
Yeah, I thought she did really well. I think it did have a little bit of the first episode syndrome, where there's just so many people on the show and so many new rules and so many challenges that there wasn't really a lot of time for a lot of personality to come out, and that's for Kristen and the entire cast. Other than, you know, cowboy hat guy, there wasn't really much time for anybody else on the show to really make much of an impact. I think as the season goes along, as it kind of, you know, fits into its formula and there's fewer chef testants to kind of, you know, have to spend time with, I think we'll be able to see more of, you know, what Kristen Kish is like versus Padma. I do think the fact that she was a former Top Chef contestant and Top Chef winner makes her really able to walk both worlds, to hang out with the judges and talk knowledgeably with them, but also to hang out with the chefs and like talk to them and be like, okay, we see in a lot of the clips from later in the season that she's like, you have to cook to win. You can't just cook to survive. You have to cook to win the competition. And I think hearing that from somebody who won the show, who found success on Top Chef, I think is maybe going to carry a lot of weight. Maybe that even Padma couldn't, because as powerful as Padma was on the show, you know, she had never been on, she wasn't a Top Chef contestant. She never had to really go through the gauntlet that is this show.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that I thought was interesting is when they did the judging panel, which had Adam Siegel, of course, from Loopy and Iris, and then it had Paul Bartolotta, who actually was a driving force of Top Chef coming to Milwaukee. He was almost giddy. He seemed so happy to be there. Did you get that impression?
I did, and I think that's kind of the vibe all around Milwaukee and Wisconsin. This is such a good portrait of this, such a great chance for Milwaukee to be in the spotlight and for our cuisine to be in the spotlight. And Top Chef really is one of the more respected food shows out there. It is kind of, you know, it brings in high, big names on the show, and it creates and helps found really impressive voices. So this is a really legit chance for Milwaukee to, you know, defy some of the stereotypes that people have about Milwaukee, that it's like, oh, it's flyover country, it's farmland, beer and cheese. And it's like, yes,
We love all of those things. All those things are integral parts of Wisconsin culture, undoubtedly. But we have so much more than that, and I think Top Chef is going to get all of it. And that's so exciting. And at the same time, I am very excited to see what they do with beer and cheese. I mean, maybe we'll find out some interesting new things we can do with curds.
And with On Milwaukee, you've got some viewing parties, what, every week?
We do, yes. Every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, we are hanging out at Zocalo and Walker's Point. We are watching the show and then doing a Facebook Live afterwards to talk about our instant reactions, me and my colleague Lori Frederick. We had a really great turnout for the premiere on Wednesday night. Bunch of people there, full house, but obviously plenty of room for people to join for next week and all the weeks after. It's going to be a really fun journey, and obviously, it'll be fun to cheer on Dan Jacobs. Hopefully, we'll be cheering him on for a long time, but it'll be great to cheer, you know, every time Milwaukee was on screen, people were cheering. It was great. Every time the guy in the hat was on screen, people were booing. It was great. It was a really fun time.
We're going to get your weekly updates on Top Chef over the next couple of months, but let's move to something else which is huge in town, and that is Summerfest. The lineup's been released. Are you excited?
Of course I'm excited, and I think, you know, when you first look at the lineup, I wouldn't say there's a ton of names in the ground stage headliners that immediately pop out, that they're immediately are like, oh, wow, that person. There's not like the Lizzo or the Noah Kahan. But I think people forget that, you know, Noah Kahan was massive last year. He was one of the biggest ground stage headliner shows of the entire festival. But when he was first announced, I don't think he was the kind of sensation that he was, you know. People forget that when Summerfest announces this, there's still months to go before the festival, and there's time for a lot of these people to kind of grow and evolve into superstars. And I think we're going to see some of these names really start to pop off. And I really recommend, if you don't recognize any of the names on the Summerfest lineup, you know, go check out Spotify and check out some of their most listened to songs, because every year at Summerfest, there's somebody performing there who I'm like, oh, I don't know who this is. And then I hear their hit song, and I'm like, oh, I know exactly who this is. How did I not know who this was? I think it's good to, you know, do a little exploration.
Is there somebody in particular that you're excited to see?
I'm excited to see the Black Pumas again. I saw them a few years ago at Summerfest, and they were tremendous. Dawes and Local Natives are two that I'm really excited about as well. And I'm really excited. They're one of the AMP headliners. I'm really excited to see AJR with Carly Rae Jepsen. AJR was supposed to headline last year. Unfortunately, the Band of Three Brothers, their father passed away last year, so they had to skip last year, but they are back. I'm really excited to see them. I think they're going to put on a great show. And Carly Rae Jepsen's going to be there. Carly Rae Jepsen, she is a great pop star. Call Me Maybe is a bop, and I will go on the record with that.
All right. Well, let's take a look real quick at movies. The new Ghostbusters opening this weekend. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm done with Ghostbusters. And I'm done with we had a trailer for the Beetlejuice 2 as well this week. I'm tired of all these nostalgic movies trying so hard to be like, oh, wow, look at all this reverent tone to all of these things where it's like, what? These movies were fun. Why does the new Ghostbusters movie not seem to have any jokes in it? Why does Beetlejuice 2 not have any jokes in it? I don't understand why they make these movies and then they're like, wow, look at it's the past. And it's like, yeah, I could watch Beetlejuice. Make me something new. Make me something interesting.
Okay, we got the idea. We know your top recipe this week is Top Chef. That, you know, every week they're going to be stirring up something new for you. Hey, you like how I did that? All right. Thank you, Matt. We will be watching for you, and we'll be checking out your reviews and your thoughts online at onmilwaukee.com.
Thanks for having me. We'll be cooking up a lot of good fun this week.
I love it. It's 8:58. We have 34 degrees at WTMJ. Coming up after the news, a couple weeks ago on WTMJ Conversations, we talked with a writing coach and author, Kathy Giorgio, but we didn't talk about something that had happened very tragically to her husband just a couple of months ago. And we're going to share that with you. And boy, it really makes you think how your life can change in a matter of seconds. That's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And we've got a busy hour ahead of us. A little bit later on, we're going to tell you what Vaz Madness is. Oh, you had never heard of this before, but maybe you have. But yeah, just wait. It's kind of interesting. Jessica, I know you led with that story about the accident on Friday. The pedestrian who was killed by a hit-and-run driver. I mean, they found out it was a 91-year-old person who was driving that vehicle. But, you know, it seems like we're hearing more and more about pedestrians who are the victims of cars and other vehicles. And, you know, that came on I remember here about a month or so ago, there was a story about the elderly priest near St. Camillus, who was also killed by a driver. And a couple weeks ago, we had Kathy Giorgio on WTMJ Conversations, a very talented writer. She's a writing coach. She works a lot with her husband. But what we didn't tell you was what happened to her husband, who is an instructor at MMAC, and this occurred back in January. A few weeks back, we talked with writing coach Kathy Giorgio on WTMJ Conversations, and there was a part of her story that we didn't reveal to you at the time, and that is what her husband has been struggling with over the last few months. And Kathy, tell us a little bit about what happened on January 17th of this year.
On January 17th, my husband walked out of work. He works at the downtown campus of MATC. He was walking toward his bus depot, and he got to the intersection of 6th and State in downtown Milwaukee. And there's actually a video of this, so I'm able to say pretty much exactly what happened. He got to the intersection. He waited for the light, looked left, looked right, looked left again, walked into the crosswalk, and partway through, a man who turned left turned right into my husband and hit him going 30 miles an hour. Michael went up onto the hood. He went into the windshield. He dropped to the pavement, and then the minivan ran him over.
This had to be such a shock to both of you. How is he doing now, Kathy?
He is in a rehab center. He is hopefully going to be coming home within the next week or two, but he is still recovering from multiple skull fractures, a fracture of the T10 vertebrae in his back, which is like right up in between your shoulder blades. It won't keep him from walking, but it still caused a lot of pain, and he hasn't been able to sit upright. He also had a traumatic brain injury. For a while there, he was living 25 years ago, kept telling me he was 25 years old, which would be difficult since we've been married 25 years. But he's doing much better. So he is going to be coming home and continuing with the recovery.
We hear about reckless driving around the area, and I know this is part of the struggle that you and Michael have had, and that is because it appears that minivan didn't even bother to stop at that intersection.
No, it went right through. He did, to his credit, he did stop after he hit Michael. It was not a hit and run. But no, he didn't even stop. He just turned. And according to the police report, it's an older man, and it said that he was trying to change lanes as he was turning through the intersection. So he said he didn't see Michael, and I'm willing to bet he was probably looking over his shoulder to see if there was a car coming up so that he could move over one lane.
You know, with the kind of traumatic injuries that you're talking about with Michael, I'm sure the expenses have to be through the roof. What about insurance? I mean, was the driver of that vehicle insured? Are Michael's expenses going to be covered?
That's the big question. The driver is underinsured. He was covered for $50,000, and that's it. That's all we can get from his insurance. The insurance company that covers him has declared that driver 100% responsible. Michael has no responsibility in this event at all. He did everything right, but he is only covered for $50,000. I do have underinsured motorist coverage on my insurance, but what I didn't know and what I think everybody has to know is that when you have underinsured motorist coverage, they take the at-fault driver's amount and they subtract it from what you've said to cover yourself for underinsured. So when I originally signed up for my car insurance years ago, I asked, what is the usual amount you put on that? And they told me $50,000. Well, $50,000 minus the driver's $50,000 is zero. I get nothing from my car insurance, even though I've been paying into it for years.
I understand a friend has launched a GoFundMe campaign to help pay for the expenses that Michael is going to be experiencing for the rest of his life.
Right. And again, you know, what I think people need to know, we've all seen the commercials about people who are in car accidents and they get awarded, you know, $2 million, $3 million, whatever. That's not the case when it's a private driver. That's the case if he's driving a company car and you can sue the business. But in this case, with this particular driver, he does not have much in the way of assets, so there really isn't anything to sue him for. I always thought when someone was declared responsible for an accident, then at that point, it all became that person's responsibility. But that's not the case. They will not go after the driver. It all comes back to us. So the driver is out there living his life as if nothing happened, and we are the ones that are having to deal not only with the physical pain and the emotional trauma, but we're also going to be dealing with the financial fallout.
And how do we find that GoFundMe campaign?
If you go to the GoFundMe site and search under Helping Michael Home, it will come right up.
Kathy, there's one other element to this story that I'd like you to share, and that's the fact that Michael didn't drive, and he used to have what? Dreams that something like this was going to happen to him?
Right. Michael doesn't drive at all. He never has. He's always had a phobia about driving, and he has always been terrified of being hit by a car. He has had nightmares since he was a child about being hit by a car. So this is a nightmare come true. And as of right now, he does not remember the accident. He doesn't remember it at all. And I think there's probably a reason for that. He's just not aware it happened, but it is just so weird that this is something he's always been afraid of.
And in your 25 years of marriage, you have been with him when he's awakened having some of these nightmares.
Oh, yes, all the time. And, I mean, these are flat-out sit-up-in-bed yelling nightmares. And, well, like I said, now it's happened.
Kathy Giorgio. Again, she's with All Writers Workplace and Workshop. She and Michael founded that organization, helping writers to develop their skills. It's a terrible story, Kathy, and certainly our hearts go out for you, for Michael, wishing you both the best and that he is on the road to recovery.
Thank you so much for your concern.
I just, you know, you hear about the stories, you hear the headlines. Oh, so-and-so got hit by a car. But you don't know what they experience afterwards, and it's just terrible. And I mean, hey, I was hit this a couple summers ago while I was driving my car. $10,000 worth of damage, uninsured driver. This is happening constantly to people in the area, and it's a real problem. And again, pedestrians, people in their cars, a lot of underinsured or not insured drivers at all. It's just a terrible, terrible situation for people. All right, it's 9:16. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we've got sports with Brandon Stein. It's all here on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
The Marky Bucks will continue their push to the NBA playoffs later today. After beating Brooklyn on Thursday night, Giannis and the Bucks will welcome in the Oklahoma City Thunder to Milwaukee. The Bucks, over the past few games, have shot the ball with much more efficiency as of late, something head coach Doc Rivers has credited to the selflessness of his squad.
It just means they're giving themselves to the team whenever you see that. That means they you know, I have a good shot that I can probably make, but that guy has a great shot. And, you know, it's like the heat check thing, which I hate. A guy makes four in a row, but if you get the ball and then the guy's wide open, you still should throw it to him. I don't believe the heat check thing. And I thought a couple of times we actually did make the extra pass, even when a guy had it going. That's a good sign for our team.
Tip-off tonight between the Bucks and Thunder, all set for 6 p.m. Bucks shoot-around will begin right here on WTMJ starting at 5. Over to College Hoops, where the Marquette Golden Eagles will look to continue their run in March as they get set to face off with Colorado with a chance at advancing in the tournament. Tip-off is set for 11:10 this morning. Coverage will get underway over on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee starting at 10:40. And lastly, despite the recent snow here in Milwaukee, spring is certainly starting to heat up for the Brewers out in Arizona. This after knocking off Craig Counsell and the Cubs Saturday afternoon by a final score of 7-4. The Brew Crew will be right back out to work later this afternoon against the Diamondbacks. That first pitch is set for 3:10. DL Hall expected to get the start for the Brewers. I'm Brandon Snide, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Brandon. We're up to 35 degrees at WTMJ. Maybe a little snow in the forecast. We'll tell you all about it. It's all ahead of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Well, we have a chance of some morning flurries and some afternoon snow showers. It'll be mostly cloudy with just a slight accumulation, less than an inch. High of 40 degrees today. Then tonight, cloudy, cool, breezy, 38 for your low. Tomorrow looks like we've got some rain with some isolated thunder. It's going to be on the windy side with 52 for your high. Tuesday, rainy and windy. We'll get up to 54 degrees. And Wednesday, mostly sunny and breezy with a high of 42. And on Thursday, mostly sunny and our high temperature is 47 degrees. Currently in Elkhart Lake, we've got 30 degrees. Muskego Lake, 32. Lake Geneva, 32. And we have 35 degrees at WTMJ at 924.
The following is a paid presentation. Advice and opinions expressed during the Sunday Sip are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.
Welcome to the Sunday Sip. I'm John Merck here. Excited to be joined by Joe Shuttman. He's the owner of Sidex Window Siding in Bath. And Ann Peplinski, who has a new Sidex walk-in shower. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
Ann, I want to ask you, because you won from Sidex a new shower. They took out the bathtub. They put in a shower. It's absolutely gorgeous. Tell us what it means to have taken out what you had and have something brand new in there from Sidex.
Oh, my God. It is such a good feeling. Everything is brand new. It's a lot bigger, and it looks beautiful, just beautiful.
Tell me what your reaction was when you found out that my friends at Sidex wanted to take care of you and make your bathroom a better bathroom.
Oh, my God. I never thought in a million years this would happen to me, because my bathroom was the ugliest bathroom ever. And they did a very good job in 2 days, and I still can't believe it.
It's what I love about Sidex is that they're quick and easy. They do the job right the first time. They're only going to be at your house and take care of each project one time. Joe, the owner, is here with us. Joe, when you hear Ann talk about the experience she had with you personally and with your teams, what does that mean to you?
It means a ton. At the end of the day, this is a people business, whether we're talking about windows or bathrooms. In this case, we did both. But at the end of the day, you got to be happy, and the idea is to do it just once, and that's what we provided.
So Ann's project, she wasn't happy with her bathroom, and she wanted a new one, and you helped her with that. How would you describe Ann's project, how difficult it was, how extensive it was, what you were able to do?
Well, it was a big full circle moment for me. I got into the business out of college to start doing bathrooms, and people had a window in what we call the wet area, everywhere where water hits, and they never knew what to do with it. So the fact that she had this exact scenario in her bathroom was a big, big full circle moment where we could do windows, which has been our bread and butter since the late 80s, and our new product, which is bathrooms, which we've been doing. I shouldn't say new. It's been over a decade now. So it was really nice that we could tie all those things together for Ann.
And how nice is it that they come out, they give you the choices, and then when they actually put the product in, it's quick and it's easy. Can you talk about how quick and easy it was?
Oh, my God. My bathroom was so bad. Joe came over and he gave me all different options, what to pick from, and that was very helpful. The guy that put the window in and refurnished the wall did an excellent job. And the guy that put in all the acrylic walls and stuff, just unbelievable. 2 days. I still can't believe it. And it was all done. I didn't have to call and tell him to come back or anything. It was perfect.
I had the same experience with Sidex. They did it right. They did it quick. They did it affordably. It's absolutely amazing. Joe, how important is it in your very competitive industry to make sure that you get it right with each person?
It's paramount. Our whole model is based on getting it right the first time. And how do we do that? We have initial consultations. Then you met Jenna, who comes out, reinspects everything. That way, the day that we show up with everything, we have lots of moving parts and pieces. And like a band, we're able to make it rock and roll, and everything jives, and we get it done.
I love that. That's a great way to put it. And how much better is your quality of life? How much happier is your heart because of Sidex?
120% better.
That's wonderful to hear. That's good. Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm happy
to
hear that.
You're welcome.
Joe, your dad's company, I know that legacy is important to you. How important is it that you get that right when you think about your dad and what he created and what you're caring for?
Yeah, nothing's more important to me. I have a daughter now. I was a son to my father, and I'd like to pass the business on to her. So it's, you know, we got to make people happy at the end of the day, and that only works by getting it done right.
And you're beaming. I talked to you before, I see you now, and when I hear you talk about Sidex and talk about your bathroom, you're just beaming. This was a pretty big deal.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Matter of fact, I'm going to have a bathroom shower party.
Yeah. Now that's a party.
Hey, I didn't get my invitation.
Yeah, me either.
It should be in the mail.
Okay.
Joe and I will be there. You send out the invites and we will be there.
Right. What is the dress code? That's a great question. That's why you're leading the interview.
Yes, for a shower party. Don't answer that. Kids are listening to the program.
Theater of the mind, I think they call that, right? Yes.
Joe, if people want more information on Sidex and the great work that's available through your company, what's the best way to get that information?
SidexRemodel.com or give us a call, 262-821-4400.
SidexRemodel.com. You know it's the best when you're dealing with Sidex. Joe Shutman is the owner of Sidex Window Siding and Baths. Ann Peplinski, I think she's a little bit of a happy customer. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank
guys.
You.
It's 9:29, 35 degrees at WTMJ. A lot of people have been filling out those brackets for March Madness, and now, of course, the games are underway. But there's something else going on in conjunction. It's called Vass Madness. What's that? Well, let's go to Dr. Peter Sambarlis, and he will tell us. He's a urologist. And, Doctor, this is fascinating to me. Tell me exactly what Vass Madness is.
Vass Madness is this predictable spike in vasectomies occurring this week every year as guys get excited for reasons to take 2 days off of work and enjoy the tournament.
And when did you start to notice this phenomena?
It's been publicized for probably at least 10 years. I started really noticing about 5-6 years ago as my focus of my practice included male sexual health and a lot of vasectomies, and usually starts in January and February with guys looking to schedule this week.
And do they say specifically to you, I want to do it so I can stay home and watch the tournament?
Some of them do, especially when a group of friends decide they're going to do it together and then they're all going to go to somebody's house and buy some frozen peas and watch the games.
You mean it's actually like a group activity?
We have seen it as a group activity where all the guys, and with supports of their wonderful partners, say, all right, let's all get this done at the same time, and we're going to hang out for 2 days and recover.
All right. Now, you say it's a two-day recovery. Not having experience personally, tell me about vasectomy surgery and, you know, what is that procedure and how long does it actually take and how long is that recovery process?
So the procedure itself, I ask my guys for 22 minutes. It's somewhere between 15 and 30 is very normal. Typically done under local anesthesia, which means the patient's awake. I'm talking to him during it. Usually about something other than the procedure. And then the recovery is 2 to 4 days of soreness. So I say 2 days where I really don't want you doing workouts or physical activity. And that's why March Madness lends itself so well to the procedure, because it gives them something to do. But the procedure itself is extremely well tolerated. The incisions are less than a centimeter. And I typically put in one stitch on the skin that falls out on its own.
Is it a lower risk procedure than, say, when a woman has contraceptive surgery?
Much lower. This is definitely the safest, easiest, actually most effective and cheapest form of birth control available. This is a superficial procedure just below the level of the skin. The corresponding surgery for the female is actually an intra-abdominal procedure associated with a general anesthetic, so much more significant surgery.
And is it reversible?
Technically, yes. But what I tell all of my men who are considering it is it's a bad plan. Don't get a vasectomy thinking I'll just get it reversed in 5 or 6 years. But things happen that are outside of our control. We have amazing providers here at Northwestern who do vasectomy reversals with high success rates. But when you do a vasectomy, plan on it being permanent.
What's the best way to find a doctor if you're going to take that step?
A lot of primary care physicians have urologists they trust, and you can ask them for a referral. nm.org/urology is, I'm biased, but I think a wonderful resource to get information about providers who do the surgery as well as the procedure itself. So I think those are two great starting points.
What's a resource where we can learn more?
Yeah, I would, again, direct anybody interested to nm.org/urology, whether they're in the immediate and catchment area of Northwestern or not, because the information is of really high quality, and I think it can help guys determine if this is a step they want to consider taking.
Just curious, doctor, do you have much time to watch the games if you're this busy this time of year?
Unfortunately, I miss a lot of the early games, a couple of vasectomies between now and lunch, for example. But I'm a huge fan of the tournament. I get to enjoy the weekend, though.
Any guesses on who's going to make it all the way?
I have UNC, but I think a guess is a really good way to describe my ability to predict the future.
I think we're in the same boat. My bracket's already gone. Dr. Peter Sumvarlas, thanks so much for telling us about VAS Madness. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me.
See, here's what I'm wondering. If there's a run on these procedures with urologists, is there also a run at the grocery store on frozen peas? Inquiring minds want to know. It's 9:41, 35 degrees at WTMJ. And the MSO are coming soon to PBS stations across the country. Debbie Hamlet from Milwaukee PBS told me how it happened.
You mentioned the Violent Femmes.
Yes.
With the MSO. How did that all come about?
When I first got here, I met with every staff member, and it came up during one of those meetings that the Violent Femmes will be playing with the Milwaukee Symphony. I said, wait a minute, what? I hadn't heard that. And people of a certain age, who didn't listen to Blister in the Sun a million times? And it was the celebration of the 40th anniversary of their first album. And Milwaukee was the first stop on that tour. And I said, gosh, you know, this is never going to come around again. We got to try this. And so got a message to one of the band members who got in touch with the manager for the band. And he sent me an email and he said, I heard a rumor that you're interested in doing this concert. Is that true? And I said, absolutely, it's true. Let's talk.
Whether you watch PBS for concerts, documentaries, or kid shows, you'll want to hear my conversation with Demi Hamlet. That's going to be this morning at 11 a.m., right after the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show. Now, that's not the Violent Femmes. That's another indie rock band called Barely Civil. And the reason I'm playing this is our own Isaac Marquardt, our producer here, is part of that band. You're the drummer. And, I thought this would be a good time, Isaac, to talk about your album release party. I mean, this is huge for you and your band, and it's taking place next Sunday.
It is. It's, Easter Sunday in the evening at Cactus Club over in Bayview.
Now, the interesting thing is, in a little bit earlier, we played another song from the album. This is the second one, and it's, 10 original songs that were released this past Friday?
Oh, yeah. Yep. 10 originals.
So tell us how we can hear some of those songs.
You can hear them on any streaming service that you like to listen to. It's also available on Bandcamp, the website there. I'm not sure if iTunes is still a thing, but if it is, you can find it on there, or you could pre-order a record of this album.
Now, tell us a little bit about how your band got together, because you've been with them for how long?
We have been a band officially for about 10 years at this point. We started in high school as a Green Day cover band. And then once we got into college, we got a little more serious with it. So we've been doing our own music and everything for about 8 years now.
Yeah, I mean, is this something that you had always hoped for, is a big album release like this?
Oh, absolutely. And this is the first time that we've ever gotten to do a proper album release show, because our last album came out in September of 2020. So nothing really happened as far as a big album release party like that.
Yeah, well, that was in the middle of COVID, so obviously not much was going on then. But this is a big deal for you. And is there any particular song on there that you had that you were really involved in the creation of that particular song?
Well, the way that we write songs is a very, very collaborative process. So I was in every step of the whole thing, but this song underneath, if you hear those kind of woes in there, that's all of us. So you can hear my voice just a little bit in this song here.
Well, what you can really hear is that drummer. That would be you. So, yeah, I know it's an exciting time for you. Congratulations on this album release. And again, Barely Civil and, good luck. I hope you get a great turnout next Sunday.
Me too. Thank you.
It's 9:47. Coming up in just a minute, it's sports with Brandon Snide right here on WTMJ.
Spring training for the Milwaukee Brewers continued on Saturday afternoon as Joe Ross took home the win for the Brew Crew over the Chicago Cubs. This after tossing five innings of a work and allowing just one earned run as Milwaukee knocked down Chicago by a final of 7-4. Gary Sanchez also waking up this spring, launching his second homer as Milwaukee will get right back out to work later this afternoon in Phoenix. DL Hall expected to get the start for the Brewers against Arizona. That first pitch is all set for 3:10. Over to the NBA, after beating Brooklyn on Thursday night, the Milwaukee Bucks three-game homestand will roll on later tonight. The Deer will welcome in the Thunder from Oklahoma City. Bucks shoot-around is slated to begin right here on WTMJ, beginning at 5 with tip-off all set for 6 p.m. from Pfizer Forum. And lastly, the two-seeded Marquette Golden Eagles will look to punch their ticket to the Sweet 16 as they get set to face off with the 10-seeded Colorado Buffaloes. Tip-off is set for 11:10. Coverage will get underway over on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee beginning at 10:40. I'm Brandon Snide, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Brandon. It's 9:49. Next Sunday, of course, is Easter. And, you know, Christmas time, you hear about a lot of events for the family, but there's not that many that occur during Easter. Well, guess what? There's one event that's happening on Saturday, kind of getting the kiddos into the holiday spirit and getting ready for the big Easter bunny. And we're going to tell you about it. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Easter is 1 week away, and there are a lot of festivities going on around the area. Joining us is Kimberly Graves from the Milwaukee County Zoo. And Kim, this week you've got the annual Egg Day event that's going to be on Saturday. Tell us all about it.
Oh, Egg Day is a classic zoo event. We've been holding it for nearly 40 years, traditionally held the day before Easter. We want all of our families and our little zoo goers to come on out and enjoy the springtime activities with many egg-themed activities for the kiddos as well as the animals.
You mentioned that the animals are going to have some fun for Egg Day. Explain what that means.
Well, we are doing a number of animal enrichment demonstrations with our pigs, our big cats, elephants, and more. And this is where they receive some egg-themed special enrichment treats, provide a little variety in their diet, get them participating in the day, and just some extra stimulation that it's just really fun to watch them explore, break out, you know, whether it's a paper mache egg. It's just a really fun opportunity.
You mentioned elephants. How do they interact with some of these egg-themed enrichment items?
They like to push them around using their feet, their trunk. They'll use the trunk to get into the eggs, to pull out the items, and just in general, investigate. And it's just something new in their habitat, something new and different that they're just really curious about. And you can come and see them investigating and playing around with it.
I understand there's also going to be an egg hunt going on Saturday.
There will. Probably not the traditional egg hunt that people are thinking of. It's more of a scavenger hunt, but we will hang eggs throughout zoo grounds and pick out all of the ones that you can see, mark them down on your card, and then you'll get a special prize if you're able to find them all.
Ooh, that sounds like fun. And then there's a bunny parade. Now, are these real bunnies or are these oversized Easter bunnies that are participating?
You are correct. It is an oversized Easter bunny. We do the parade 3 times, so no matter when you're here, you're most likely to see it. 3 rounds around the zoo. We're throwing candy and special treats to all the kiddos. So it's really fun and is a staple of Egg Day.
Okay, now I know a couple weeks ago there were some backups with traffic on a free zoo day. Do you anticipate any problems getting in and out of the zoo today?
We hope not. If it's a well-attended event, it can get a little crowded, so we would encourage people, if you want to park on zoo grounds, but maybe park a few blocks away and make the trek in, that might make it a little more convenient for you. Our crowd usually depends on the weather, so if it's a nicer day, we are expecting more people, so I would just plan ahead. Bring some snacks. Hopefully there won't be too long of a line to get in, and it will definitely be worth the wait.
Kimberly Graves from the Milwaukee County Zoo, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Do people wear Easter bonnets anymore? I can remember as a little girl, my mom always got me a hat. Wore one day a year. Used to wear it on Easter, but it's all part of it. It's a fun time. All right, looks like it's not going to be too Eastery today on this Palm Sunday because we do have a chance of some afternoon snow showers. It's going to be mostly cloudy. As far as accumulation, don't expect much. We're probably looking at less than half an inch. Our high temperature is going to be 40 degrees. And tonight, cloudy, cool, breezy, down to 38. Tomorrow, then, it's going to warm up, 52 degrees. That's going to make the snow go away. And plus, we'll have some rain showers. It might even be some isolated thunder. It's going to be very, very windy. Tuesday, more rain, more wind, and a high of 54. On Wednesday, it'll be mostly sunny and breezy with a high of 42 degrees. Then Thursday, mostly sunny and a high of 47. Currently in Hartford, we've got 30 degrees. Pleasant Prairie, you're at 35. Green Bay's at 32. WTMJ, we have 36 degrees coming up to 9:57. Right after the news, Brian and David Wickard are going to be here. And, you know, the Fed met this past week. And there's a lot of conversation about what that meeting means to those mortgage rates and whether or not homes are going to become more affordable. Well, they're going to take a deep dive into that and let you know. That's right after the news on the Accudent Mortgage and Realty Show. Then I'm back at 11 o'clock this morning with Debbie Hamlet from Milwaukee PBS, and we're going to be talking about all your favorite shows. That's all today on WTMJ.